Welcome to another episode of My Weird Prompts, an AI-generated podcast featuring the random prompts of Daniel Rosehill as answered by a revolving cast of friendly AI characters. Join us for deep dives into AI, technology, and whatever other random thing Daniel finds fascinating today. Subscribe on Spotify or your favorite podcatcher. Now, today's episode.
This episode was generated using artificial intelligence. Please verify facts.
Hi there, Herman and Corin. So very interesting episode about airport security. And what I'm listening to, this is the second prompt I'm sending in to ask a follow-up question. I guess maybe we'll have a podcast one day where it can be interactive. I can ask you prompts, hear what you have to say, and then follow up with questions. That'll be a pretty cool experiment. Although, after a year of getting this podcast production plan to work, I'm not sure. I think for the moment, I'm just going to coast. I'm going to say I really like this and we're good for the moment. But maybe that's a long-term evolution. In any event, in the airport security podcast, you talked about how the trend or the projection is for phasing out this kind of generic security checkpoint we're all familiar with, where you put your luggage in and et cetera, to milliwave sensors that can see through clothing, and needless to say, there's privacy concerns there, massive ones, in fact. But you mentioned that the AI is so good that it can even detect, it's looking for the difference between skin and objects, that if a person is carrying something potentially dangerous, and that's going to be that's what might replace these checkpoints as the kind of defense. Now, there is a lot of context where AI is used in contexts like this. It might be in the case of Israel, facial recognition. We talked about recognizing license plates. There's almost endless use cases where artificial intelligence could be deployed in for security purposes and for even medical purposes. And what I always wonder about this is, it kind of stands to reason that if AI is being used in governmental settings, they're not going to just generate an API key on OpenAI platform or Azure. And because if they do that, then all their data is going to be flowing through the general public cloud. It stands to reason to me that there is one of two approaches that could be done. One is on premises, where you're taking the compute and deploying it locally. Let's just stick with airports because it's a decent enough illustrative example, I think, that it can be a proxy for a lot of different governmental uses of AI. That's one option. And option two is something like deploying it in the control cloud. I think there was a very interesting, I remember reading in the news a few years ago that AWS had succeeded in deploying a special cloud for the CIA, which was interesting because it meant that AWS or Amazon had been able to provision a cloud that the CIA could trust to their very exacting standards. And the idea that governments are able to use public cloud resources is a very interesting one. So I'd love to know, Herman and Corin, when we're talking about how governments use AI for security needs, etc. It's a lot of work to do on premises, right? I mean, you know, servers are big GPUs or beefy things, and there's a lot to be said for the convenience of just saying, it sounds like a much more appealing prospect to say, well, if we can get Google or AWS to, we can figure out some way to make it safe enough for us, we'll go with that. So Herman and Corin, that's what I'd like to talk about in today's podcast. For the most demanding security standards and AI workloads, whether we might add financial services to that as well, know your customer. What's a typical deployment? Is that where we're seeing a lot of the on-premises stuff? Or is it in these kind of specialized, secured, federated clouds? And how do giants like AWS stand up cloud environments to meet the very exacting standards of actors like this across different industries? Herman and Corin, let's talk about government using AI and how government clouds can be secure.
Hey everyone, welcome back to My Weird Prompts. I am Corn, and I have to say, I have been looking forward to this one all morning. We are diving into the high-stakes world of secure infrastructure today.
And I am Herman Poppleberry. It is great to be here. You know, Corn, I was just reading a report about how the financial sector is hitting a massive inflection point with artificial intelligence. It is no longer just about chatbots. It is about core, heavy lifting workloads.
Exactly. And the timing is perfect because our housemate Daniel sent us a voice memo about this very thing. He was asking about how governments and ultra-high security industries like banking actually deploy these artificial intelligence workloads.
Right. Daniel wants to know if they are still building their own server rooms in the basement or if they have finally made the jump to the cloud. And specifically, how does someone like Amazon Web Services build something that a group like the Central Intelligence Agency would actually trust?
It is a great question because it gets to the heart of what we call sovereign artificial intelligence. We are moving past the early days where people just threw data at a public API. Now we are talking about national security and trillions of dollars in assets.
Oh, the landscape has changed so much just in the last year. If you look at where we are right now, in January of 2026, we are seeing this fascinating hybrid reality. For a long time, the old guard in finance and government had this mantra, if you do not own the hardware, you do not own the security.
I remember we touched on some of the surveillance aspects of this back in episode 273, when we talked about the invisible perimeter in aviation security. But this takes it to a whole different level. It is not just about cameras and sensors, it is about where the actual weights of the neural network live.
Exactly. So, to Daniel's first point, is it on-premise or cloud? The answer is increasingly both, but in a very specific way. For the most sensitive data, think of things like nuclear research or high-frequency trading algorithms. Many organizations still maintain on-premise graphics processing unit clusters.
Because they want that physical air gap, right? They want to know that there is no physical wire connecting that machine to the outside world.
Exactly. But here is the problem. Building an on-premise cluster for modern artificial intelligence is incredibly expensive. We are talking about the NVIDIA Blackwell B200 chips. Those things can cost anywhere from $30,000 to $50,000 per chip, and you do not just buy one, you buy thousands.
Plus the cooling, the power, the specialized staff. It becomes a massive capital expenditure. Most banks, even the big ones, realize they cannot keep up with the pace of hardware innovation if they only build on-premise.
That is where the specialized, secured clouds come in. This is what blew my mind recently. Amazon Web Services just launched their European Sovereign Cloud to general availability this month. They are investing over 7 billion euros into this.
7 billion? That is a massive bet. What makes that different from the regular cloud regions we use to host a website?
It is all about logical and physical separation. In the European Sovereign Cloud, for example, the infrastructure is physically located in the European Union, specifically in Germany right now. But more importantly, it is operated exclusively by European Union residents.
So even if an engineer at Amazon in Seattle wanted to look at the metadata, they physically cannot?
Precisely. They have created these hard boundaries. They use a system called Nitro, which is basically a specialized hardware and software combination that provides a trusted execution environment. It ensures that no one, not even the cloud provider's system administrators, can access the customer data while it is being processed.
That is the key, isn't it? Confidential computing. It is the idea that the data is encrypted not just when it is sitting on a hard drive or when it is moving across the internet, but even when it is sitting in the memory of the chip being processed.
Exactly. And that leads perfectly into the second part of Daniel's prompt. How do they meet the standards of the Central Intelligence Agency? The Central Intelligence Agency was actually one of the early pioneers here with their C2S contract years ago.
I remember that being a huge deal. It was the first time a major intelligence agency said, okay, we are going to trust a commercial provider with top secret data.
Right. And the way they do it is through something called classified regions. These are not just secure sections of a public data center. These are physically separate, secret locations that are built to government specifications.
So we are talking about SCIFs, or Sensitive Compartmented Information Facilities, but at the scale of a massive data center.
Exactly. These regions are air-gapped from the public internet. If you want to move data into one of those regions, it is a highly controlled process. And the hardware itself is often customized. They might use specialized versions of the Blackwell chips that have even more rigorous security features baked into the silicon.
It is interesting you mention the hardware. I was reading that we are seeing a shift in how these chips are allocated. Because demand for things like the B200 is so high, the cloud providers are essentially acting as the gatekeepers for national artificial intelligence strategy.
You are spot on. In fact, if you look at the Joint Warfighting Cloud Capability, or JWCC, which is the current $9 billion contract for the Pentagon, it is all about getting those hyperscale capabilities to the tactical edge. They want a soldier in the field to be able to run a complex model that was trained in a secure cloud region.
And they are already working on what comes next. I saw that the request for proposals for the next iteration, JWCC Next, is expected to hit the streets sometime in the next few months, early in 2026. They are looking to expand beyond just the big four providers, to bring in more specialized artificial intelligence tools.
It is a total arms race. But let's look at the financial side for a second, because that is where most of our listeners will feel the impact. Gartner is predicting that by the end of this year, 2026, 90% of finance functions will have deployed at least one artificial intelligence-enabled solution.
But they're not doing it in the public cloud, are they?
Most are moving toward a hybrid strategy. They use the public cloud for the heavy training of models using non-sensitive or anonymized data. But when it comes to inference, where the model is actually making decisions on real customer data, they move that to their own secure private partitions or back to on-premise hardware.
It is like they are using the cloud as a massive laboratory, but the actual factory floor is kept behind a very thick wall.
That is a great analogy, and the wall is getting thicker because of regulation. We have to talk about the European Union Artificial Intelligence Act. We have a massive deadline coming up on August 2nd, 2026.
That is the one where the majority of the rules for high-risk systems actually go into effect, right?
Yes, and in the financial sector, a lot of what they do is classified as high-risk under that act, things like credit scoring or risk assessment models. If those banks cannot prove exactly where their data is being processed and who has access to it, they are going to face massive fines.
So, the move towards sovereign clouds isn't just about security anymore. It is about legal survival. If you are a bank in Paris, you cannot just have your customer data floating around in a data center in Northern Virginia.
Exactly. This is why the launch of the AWS European Sovereign Cloud is such a big deal this month. It gives those institutions a way to meet those August 2026 deadlines while still getting the performance of modern hardware.
I wonder if we are going to see a fragmenting of the internet because of this. If every country or region wants their own sovereign cloud with their own separate hardware, does that make it harder for artificial intelligence to be a global collaborative tool?
That is the big tension. On one hand, we want the efficiency of global scale. On the other, we have the reality of geopolitics. We are seeing countries like Singapore and France pushing hard for their own domestic sovereign capabilities. They do not want to be dependent on a foreign company for their most critical infrastructure.
It reminds me of what we discussed back in episode 280 about why those old number stations still exist. Even in an era of high-tech encryption, there is a desire for absolute control and physical certainty that no one else is listening.
It is the same instinct, just with a lot more compute power. And speaking of compute power, we should probably address the misconception that the cloud is less secure than on-premise. For most organizations, even banks, the cloud providers actually have better security than they could ever build themselves.
Right, because Amazon or Microsoft can afford to hire the world's top security researchers and spend billions on automated threat detection. A regional bank just cannot compete with that.
Exactly. Most security breaches happen because of human error or misconfigured software, not because someone broke into the data center. The cloud providers have turned security into a standardized, automated product. When you use a GovCloud or a sovereign cloud, you are essentially buying a pre-hardened environment.
But you still have to trust the provider. And that is the hurdle for the intelligence community. They do not just take Amazon's word for it. They have their own people on site. They have their own audits. It is a level of scrutiny that would make a normal company's head spin.
Oh, absolutely. I was reading about the technical isolation in the new European Sovereign Cloud. One of the engineers who worked on it mentioned that because of the strict separation, debugging issues can take 10 times longer. If something goes wrong in the German region, an engineer in the United States cannot even see the logs. They have to play a game of telephone with an engineer in Europe who has the proper clearance.
That is the trade-off, isn't it? You get absolute security, but you lose that instant, global support that made the cloud so appealing in the first place.
It is the price of sovereignty. And I think we are going to see more of it. As artificial intelligence models become more powerful, they become national assets. You do not just leave your national assets in someone else's garage.
So for Daniel's question, the trend is definitely toward these specialized federated clouds. On-premise is not going away, but it is becoming the specialized exception for the most sensitive crown jewels. Everything else is moving into these highly regulated, physically isolated cloud regions.
And for the financial services, the big takeaway is that hybrid is the new standard. You train in the big, open cloud where the power is, and you deploy in the sovereign cloud where the security is.
It is a fascinating evolution. It feels like we are watching the architecture of the future being built in real time.
We really are. And with those August 2026 deadlines looming for the AI Act, the next few months are going to be a mad scramble for compliance.
Well, I think we have given Daniel a lot to chew on. It is a complex topic, but it is one that is going to define the next decade of technology.
Definitely. And hey, if you are listening and you have thoughts on cloud sovereignty or how your industry is handling artificial intelligence security, we would love to hear from you.
Yeah, definitely get in touch. And while you're at it, if you have been enjoying the show, a quick review on your podcast app or on Spotify really helps us out. It helps other curious people find these deep dives.
It really does. You can find us at our website, myweirdprompts.com, and of course on Spotify.
This has been My Weird Prompts. Thanks for joining us, and we will catch you in the next one.
Until next time.
You know, Herman, I was thinking about that Nitro system you mentioned. Is it actually possible to prove that the hardware hasn't been tampered with before it even reaches the data center?
That is a whole other rabbit hole, Korn. It is called supply chain security. And honestly, it is one of the biggest headaches for these high security deployments. They actually track the chips from the moment they leave the factory.
Like a chain of custody for silicon.
Exactly. We actually talked about the concept of chain of custody in episode 283, though that was more about digital truth. But for hardware, it is even more physical. They use tamper-evident packaging and specialized sensors to make sure no one opened the box between Taiwan and the data center in Germany.
It is incredible, the amount of effort we put into protecting these strings of ones and zeros.
Well, when those ones and zeros control the global economy or a nation's defense, it is worth every penny.
True. It makes my home office setup look a bit pathetic, doesn't it?
Just a little bit. But hey, at least you don't have to deal with $7 billion worth of regulation every time you want to update your software.
That is a very fair point. I will take my lack of sovereignty for a bit of convenience any day.
Spoken like a true enthusiast. All right, let's wrap this up before we find another three topics to dive into.
Good call. Thanks again for listening, everyone.
Take care.
So, thinking back to the beginning of the discussion, we talked about the financial institutions favoring proprietary and hybrid infrastructure. I think it is worth emphasizing that proprietary doesn't always mean building it yourself anymore. It often means having a dedicated, single-tenant environment provided by a hyperscaler.
Right, what they call dedicated local zones. It is like renting a whole building instead of just an apartment. You get your own entrance, your own security, but the landlord still handles the plumbing and the electricity.
And in this case, the plumbing is a massive cluster of B200 chips, and the electricity is the specialized artificial intelligence cooling systems.
Exactly. And for the CIA, that building is in a secret location, and the landlord has a top secret clearance.
It is a wild world. I wonder what Daniel is going to ask next. He always seems to find the most complicated topics at the most interesting times.
Well, that is why we live with him, right? Keeps us on our toes.
Right, definitely. All right, for real this time, thanks for listening to My Weird Prompts.
See you next week.
I was just looking at the word count for our discussion, Herman. We have really gone deep today. I hope the listeners appreciate the nuance here because it is so easy to just say, the cloud is secure, or the cloud is not secure.
Yeah, the nuance is everything. In 2026, the cloud isn't one thing anymore. It is a spectrum. You have the public internet on one end and these highly isolated sovereign regions on the other.
And most of the world's important work is moving toward that isolated end.
Without a doubt. It is the only way to balance the need for massive compute with the need for absolute privacy.
Well, I am glad we could break it down. It definitely cleared up some things for me, especially regarding the European Union legislation.
That August 2nd date is going to be a wake-up call for a lot of companies. If they haven't started their migration to sovereign infrastructure by now, they are already behind.
Hopefully, some of them are listening to us.
We can only hope. All right, let's head out.
Sounds good. Catch you later, Herman.
Oi, Corn.
And once more, for the people in the back, check out myweirdprompts.com for the full archive. We have over 280 episodes of this stuff now.
It is a lot of talking, Corn.
It is a lot of learning, Herman. That is the point.
Fair enough. All right, let's go.
One last thing, Herman. Did you see that mention of the chip tax in that NVIDIA research note?
Oh, you mean the regulatory hurdles and the cost of compliance that are being baked into the price of high-end artificial intelligence services?
Yeah, it is fascinating. We are moving toward a world where the cost of the chip is only half the battle. The other half is the cost of the permission to use it in a regulated environment.
It is the new reality. Security and compliance are becoming the most expensive components of any artificial intelligence strategy.
It makes me wonder if we will eventually see tax-free artificial intelligence zones, like offshore data havens.
People are already talking about it, but with the way global regulation is moving, it is getting harder and harder to hide.
Ah, true. Every bit of data leaves a trail.
And we are the ones following it.
Exactly. All right, that is enough for today.
Agreed. Bye, everyone.
Bye.
You know, I just realized I forgot to mention the specific latency drop they are seeing with those new agentic systems in finance.
Oh, you mean the 200 millisecond routing?
Yeah, it is incredible. Traditional rule-based systems just cannot keep up. These new artificial intelligence agents are making routing decisions in a fraction of the time, and every millisecond saved is literally millions of dollars in revenue for the big banks.
It is like high-frequency trading all over again, but for every single transaction.
Exactly, and that is why they need that Blackwell hardware. You cannot do that on old chips. The throughput just isn't there.
It is a high-speed world, Herman. We are just living in it.
And trying to explain it.
Doing our best. All right, really going now.
Me too.
Ooh, bye.
Bye-bye.
Hey, Herman. Before we go, I was just thinking about the air gap concept. Do you think we will ever reach a point where even an air gap isn't enough? Like, with quantum computing or something?
That is a scary thought, Corn. We actually touched on quantum-resistant encryption in episode 280. If someone can break the encryption without needing a physical connection, then the air gap is just a suggestion.
Man, the more we learn, the more there is to worry about.
Or, the more there is to secure. It is a job for life, that is for sure.
True. All right, I am definitely done now.
Me too. See ya.
See ya. Way!
Wait, one more thing.
No, Herman. We are done.
Fine, fine. Next time.
Next time. Thanks, everyone.
Bye.
So, as we wrap up, I just want to summarize for Daniel. On-premise for the absolute secrets, sovereign clouds for the regulated high-risk stuff, and the public cloud for the general experiments. And AWS builds it all using a mix of physical isolation, specialized staff, and hardware-level encryption like the Nitro system.
Perfect summary. Daniel, I hope that answers your prompt.
And if not, send us another one.
Exactly. All right, for real real this time. Bye.
Bye.
Wait. Did I mention the Singapore domestic cloud?
Yes, you did. We are going.
Okay, okay, going.
Laughs. See you guys later.
Bye.
This episode was generated using Gemini Flash 3. Text-to-speech engine was Chatterbox Turbo.
Thanks for listening to another episode of My Weird Prompts, an AI-generated podcast featuring Daniel Rosehill's AI prompts, as answered by a revolving cast of friendly AI characters including me, Cornelius the Sloth. Subscribe on Spotify or visit myweirdprompts.com.